Hello and welcome to a new interview from MinMax. MinMax is a Patreon about games, friends, and getting better. My name is Ben Hansen, and today we're very honored to be joined by Joe Walsh, who's the senior designer over at Mediatonic, working on the fantastic game Fall Guys. By now, I assume you've seen Fall Guys, heard about Fall Guys, played Fall Guys. It seems to be taking over the world. One of the most streamed games on Twitch. On Steam alone, they reported that it sold over 2 million copies. One of the year's biggest success stories. So, in this interview, we talked to Joe about designing the game, the history of the game, the reactions towards the game that have been surprising so far, and the path moving forward. What they plan to do for tweaks, roadmaps, who they're taking inspiration from, that type of stuff. But without further ado, here's Joe Walsh. Joe Walsh, welcome to MinMax, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being here. How are you doing over there? How are you feeling? What is your life like? Tell me everything.
I mean, it's totally insane. Like, I think the team are feeling very overstimulated at the moment. We've gone from having no one know about our game to having like an inkling that maybe this is actually something quite exciting, to then it just exploding in a way that like none of us have could ever have imagined. And it's scary because obviously all our servers exploded pretty rapidly, and it just, this panic sets in, right? Because you've worked so long for something and there is this sense of it slipping by, like you never know how long this hype is going to last. And this idea that like, hey, I mean, could have been a big deal, but the servers exploded and now the moment has passed. Like, luckily people have been incredibly patient and things seem to be stabilizing and people are playing the game and loving it, which is I think a huge relief for the team. But
yeah,
I mean, it's just lovely. We're really enjoying the process so far.
Is there one team meeting after the explosion and the launch that really stands out to you? I assume it's over Zoom, but is everybody popping champagne or was there a speech? Or give me the most impactful team meeting you've had.
I think the first one was when our company founder Paul gave us the numbers on how many copies we sold on day one, and it was, we'd had jokes about, you know, the dream numbers, and this was about five times as high as anything we'd ever even joked about.
Oh my God.
So that was insane. And then I think there have been a couple of streamers that we'd always wanted to play the game, and then we ticked those off on like day one or something ridiculous. And now it's getting silly. Like, now we've got football players playing the game, and it's just like totally ridiculous.
Yeah. Who has been the craziest person you've seen respond to the game or stream the game?
So I think Sergio Aguero, who plays for Manchester City Football Club, like, he was playing and then he was playing full ball, which is our soccer football variant.
Oh, of course.
And he scores a winning diving header in the last second and then celebrates like he's won the Champions League. And like, we joked in the studio when we made this about like, oh, imagine if like we got someone to play it. But that's just so, and someone's dubbed famous commentary of him scoring a goal in the Champions League over the top, and it works so well. It's just every morning you wake up and there's some new insane thing. But I think that's probably one of the highlights so far.
Yeah. I like, I don't know if like's the right term, but it's interesting that, you know, there's a lot of fear bundled with this, because imagine a lot of people out there, and specifically indie developers, are like, oh my God, Fall Guys did it. They did the impossible. That's the cloud that someday I want to float up to. And now you're saying, oh no, it's scary on this cloud. Don't come up here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, especially like for the team on the ground, there's, we were working on the game 2 days before launch, still fixing stuff, still changing things. And then the game launches and there's no rest. There's no break for you to all sit and pat each other on the back. You know, we spent maybe a day just trying to watch things, but people like the server team, people like customer support, you know, day one, it just explodes. And once that train's out of the station, there's not really any pause, because you don't want to miss it. You don't want to relax for too long and lose that special moment. So,
right.
But at the same time, it's very energizing as well for most of the team, just to see so much feedback.
Yeah.
It's mostly positive, which is amazing.
Well, I'm here to tell you, unfortunately, that it's all been a dream, and that you're about to wake up now.
Wouldn't surprise me at this point. It's just everything that we could have wanted to happen with it has happened, which is really cool.
It's just bizarre. Do you want to talk about the studio's history? Where you all came from? What you've been working on in the past? It seems like it's a name that has been around, but now it's like, wait, suddenly, oh, one of the most important developers in the world now? Okay, got it.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane. Like, we, as a studio, started off making flash games, making web things, like funny little things, and our first big hit was Amateur Surgeon, which was like one of the original, it was the first R-rated Apple Store game where you were operating on people in a backyard surgery. Yeah. It was Cartoon Adult Swim. We made it with Adult Swim back in the day. And then we had a breakthrough period of making PS Mini games, and these were exciting own IP, you know, like little games that we were really excited about. But as the studio has grown, we've had to take on larger projects to keep ourselves afloat, you know. And the studio kind of transitioned into a more work for hire, slightly white label studio, making things that we're really, really proud of. But, you know, we worked on Fable Fortune, which was a card game that was going to go alongside the ill-fated Legends game.
Oh, interesting.
That got released on its own. We've done tie-ins with Gears Pop. We've done tie-ins with Yahtzee and loads of different franchises. But our name has not really been at the forefront of those things. There are games that have had big fan bases, but Mediatonic as a company have been relatively unknown. I mean, the one thing that we're known about is we did the Hatterful Boyfriend HD remake. So we didn't make the game. Hatamoa made the game, and we kind of partnered with Devolver to do this remake. And that was really the first time we'd done something with them in a long time. And the deal was, hey, if you ever have any good ideas, you should pop by and have a chat. And then Fall Guys landed on their desk, and they were like, here's a bunch of money, go make a game. Now we're here.
That's amazing. And I love just the simple flip of you all working on Gears Pop, which, solid game. I think when it was announced, there were a lot of people that are like, this isn't my Gears, F you. Like the amount of hatred towards Gears Pop that was unjustified. And now just not too long later, now it's like, hey, now you make Fall Guys. And everybody, now that you're hot, they all want you, I think is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, everybody's come around eventually.
That's so strange. Is Mediatonic independent then?
Yeah, we're an independent studio, and our relationship with Devolver is pretty chill. Like they're an amazing publisher for basically, like they don't come in with reams and reams of feedback on your game and say, oh, we think this should be changed, we think this should be changed. They basically find developers that they like and they trust, and say, hey, I mean, you guys make games, we publish games. You go do your thing, we'll go do ours, and we'll see you at the end. And it really works. Like you are really feel very trusted and very empowered to like go and make your own game, which is really cool. I mean, it's totally insane to be, you know, to come from the lineage of like Enter the Gungeon, Hotline Miami.
Yeah.
It's just like, we are, it still feels like, you know, imposter syndrome a little bit. It's
of course.
Mental.
Do you all own the IP for Fall Guys, or as Devolver?
I believe so, yeah. I don't know too much about the details in the background, but again, sure. They're not really that interested in that sort of stuff. They just want to make cool games.
That's amazing. Okay, so you talk about this landing on Devolver's desk. Where did Fall Guys start? How did it eventually land there?
So I think the first document that we made, like, we tend to do like one pages as a studio, which is our like rule of like, if you can't explain your game in a couple of pictures and a few sentences, it's probably not something worth doing for now. And so the first one pager that we put together for Fall Guys was basically GIFs of Takeshi's Castle. And it was like, basically it was like Gang Beasts plus Mario Party plus Battle Royale. It's probably this. And I'm not joking. It wasn't really much more than that that got the game signed. And Devolver basically looked at that and were like, I don't know what you want. Just make the game. This sounds great. But I think the big thing is that we couldn't believe no one else was working on this, or no one else has had this idea. It just seemed too good to be true and too exciting to not have 10 other studios already be making it. So the first like year of development was just praying every E3 that no one else announced it.
And just the broad concept of kind of lighter party battle royale fusion.
Yeah, exactly. Like just seems like there's so much potential there and so many exciting things to explore.
I know. It's mind-boggling. Even, you know, I'm sure I heard the name around E3 and stuff like that, but it wasn't until the Devolver Land Expo, that interactive thing that they released, that I actually stood in the booth and watched that trailer, and immediately it was, oh, of course. Like this, of course, it's like the industry has willed it into existence. I'm so glad that you guys are the ones that actually tackled this. And then it's so satisfying to have that moment internally of it popping and saying, oh, of course, this should be huge. And then the rest of the world going, yes, yes, we'd like that in our arsenal of games, please. And now it's just become a behemoth.
Yeah, it's totally insane. And it's been so fun to like, a lot of the reviews and a lot of the things have picked up on things that we talked about in those very early meetings with Devolver about like multiplayer for people who don't like multiplayer. And then that keeps cropping up, and you know, it's fun to fail in this game. I don't feel bad when I lose. And it's like, oh, it's just so great to hear those design pillars that we start set on like day one being delivered and resonating with people so well.
Yeah. So as a designer, what has been the most challenging part about designing Fall Guys throughout the last couple of years?
So I think probably the two biggest things, the hardest thing firstly was getting the character to feel right, because the character has to feel, it has to be funny, essentially. Like if you get hit by stuff and it's frustrating and it's annoying, then the whole concept for the game goes out the window, because you have to be laughing when you get eliminated. And so trying to find this balance between Mario, Twitch platformer, responsive for asking you to do quite hard things, but also the gang beast-y, floppy, ragdolly, rolliness that feels inspired by game shows. Finding that spot between Mario and Ragdoll has been very hard, and you know, we had to go back to the drawing board a lot, and it's just not funny, it's just not floppy enough. But we have to be really careful, because, and it's a totally bizarre conversation to be having, but like, you know, the character needs to be bendy and all of this stuff needs to be transferred over the network, and that's great for a game where you've only got to do it once. But when you've got 60 characters, you can't network every single bone and every single bend in that thing. And so that quest for the character that felt good and performed well was a nightmare and kept us up a lot. And then the other thing has just been making levels. Like, we'd never made anything like this before as a studio.
Yeah.
We started making levels and we started to realize that the cadence we were going at, we might launch with about 10. And it was like, it was basically one point where I was like, we really need to figure this out and all agree on a really quick process for killing ideas and nailing down what we think is going to work. And from that point in development, I think we hit our stride with making levels. And I think really, really pleased with basically the 25 today that we've launched with.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, what was the epiphany then in terms of speeding up that process, just killing ideas faster?
So I think the main thing was that we had a couple of things that made it, we basically wanted to get to the point where we took the opinions of people out of the equation and we had an objective way to talk about levels. So we basically agreed that it was like a level needs to be about 50-50 chaos and skill. And so anyone who came with a level that was essentially a roulette reel, we could instantly kill, because it was like, it's too random, doesn't work.
Right.
Similarly, if someone came with a level that's pure platforming, it was like, it's too skill-based, doesn't work. We need to find this like middle ground. And so that, you know, that was one of them. Another one was about the level being replayable. It has to be different every time you play it. There has to be things that change. And not all of the levels achieve these to maximum. They achieve them to varying degrees, but I think it just gave us a way to very quickly look at a level and be like, does it hit the four pillars or what? I can't remember how many it was. And it was just like, yes, 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 no, kill it. Yes, no, no, kill it. Yes, yes, yes. All right, brilliant. That's a level. Let's prototype it. And we would go from there.
That's amazing. Do you think that those pillars are going to carry forward throughout the rest of Fall Guys' life?
I think so. I think that what we've seen so far has been a really big, you know, validator in a lot of those decisions we've made. I think there are some that we're finding and maybe we need to push forward a little bit more. Like, I think variation is probably the big one. Like, we've got some cool ideas for how to make the game more replayable and how to make, you know, the 100th time that you go onto Fall Mountain is still surprising you in some way. I think
that's
the dream for Fall Guys, really, is that, because when you play like a battle royale, there are 1,000 micro decisions that happen every time you play. And each crate has got different things in. You drop at a different point and other people move in different ways. And there are like millions and millions of permutations. And I think Fall Guys, as it stands right now, has like thousands of permutations. But what we want is to hit that same level of like, you know, like variation and depth that one of those battle royales have.
That's such a fascinating idea, because it starts with kind of this lighthearted concept. And is that just the trajectory of the game now? Is, oh, we as developers need to take it more seriously? Or has development always taken it that seriously and realized you need to have that much variation moving forward, and now the rest of the world's just caught up to you?
I think it's always been the plan. I mean, there were some things that got cut during launch, like the mini games we had, different systems that we had, and that was like really hurt as the designer of it to see these things get cut. But you have to kind of make these decisions and focus down. Like, we cut quite a lot of mini games towards the end because we felt it would be better to have 25 really polished ones than, you know, 30 a bit iffy ones, that kind of thing.
Right.
But we kind of known that was probably the first thing we were going to do once the game launched, but the demand for new shit has just gone through the roof, and we're like frantic. We're just now we are playtesting a brand new level that hopefully we're going to get out there soon and stuff, because the appetite for new things is absolutely voracious and more than we could have anticipated.
Oh my gosh. But now you have the system down, so you can keep churning these out at a decent clip.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the plan.
And are you going to be removing some in the process? Do you think you're going to have like the Disney vault of Fall Guys levels that you eventually pull back out? Like, hey, this, your favorite's back.
I think if we ever get to that point, I would be very happy to be at the point where we have so many that it's time to start retiring some. I think we're a way off, probably. unless like, I mean, we're going to keep an eye on it. And if there are ones that, you know, don't stand the test of time as well, I think we can either repurpose them or change them and stuff like that. Like, I think that's totally on the table. But for now, I think we kind of see the best version of Fall Guys is like you press go and there are 100 variations of that first level or something like that.
Oh, interesting.
But we'll see.
Yeah. The is a level editor something you're still considering?
We don't have one internally because we built the game in Unity, and Unity is amazing for just chucking stuff together really quickly. But
yeah,
there's a massive demand for it through especially like the, you know, PC community and stuff. But we have to be kind of careful because making these levels is one thing, but playtesting them is another. And that's fine if you're making a StarCraft level and you need to grab one other player, or, you know, a Halo map and you need to grab a handful of your buddies. But not a lot of us have 59 friends online at any time that they can jump in a level with. And so we need to think about what that ecosystem looks like. Like, how do we curate things and how do we create that? Because at the same time, if someone makes a level and it's rubbish and we put 59 people into that level, we have a bit of a responsibility as a developer to make sure that that experience that they have is good. And if someone's just made a straight line with nothing on it and we've served that up to a lot of people, then I think that's not going to work either. So, you know, games have done it, you know, things like Mario Maker and stuff find ways of curating things, but it's a very different ecosystem to have like it's just me and I press play, or it's just me and 59 people playing this level. So
yeah,
but I don't think it's unsolvable. It's just it's not the kind of thing where we could just start it today and have it work.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to think about a bit about it.
Absolutely. Just to zoom in a little bit, Hexagon, do you want to talk about the history of that level, inspirations? Was it an early one or a late one?
So I think Hexagon was the second final round that we did, and we knew we wanted to do something that wasn't a race, and that was a bit of a breakthrough. It was like, what if you don't grab the crown every single time? What if there's another way? And I'd been watching, I think I've been watching like a Minecraft mini game tournament online, and I saw them playing something called TNT Run, which is like very similar essentially. And I was just like, oh my God, that's a Fall Guys round. That would work so perfectly. It's so physical. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
And we like prototyped it really quickly, and it was like, yep, tick. And I think it comes top of a lot of tier lists, which I'm very pleased with. I think it's a good one.
Yeah.
It's just so funny. It's so addictive as well.
Yeah.
And I like the way you have to work to get there, to have your shot at that really hard level.
Right. I like the idea that you still find the game funny after years of beating your head against a wall trying to design this thing.
Yeah. I was playing at lunch. Yeah. Got a win.
Hey, nice. Hey, way to go. Are you just getting crushed out there most of the time? Or
I'm doing pretty good, actually. Okay. I've managed to hold my own, and I've got my own shortcuts and stuff, which still haven't broken out into the mainstream yet, and my own strategies.
Oh, interesting.
But yeah, I'm still doing okay. But people are getting really good at stuff like some of the hexagon strategies and some of the four mountain routes are just, people are so efficient already.
Yeah. So surprising the studio overall, just how intense and how good these players are.
I think a big thing is that there were a bunch of things that we were like, that's a one in a million shot and that's never going to happen, but it'd be really cool if it did. And then all of them happened on day one because there's so many people playing. So it's like that straight line tiptoe video that was on Reddit.
Right.
It's like we played hundreds of hours of tiptoe and never seen it. Like the DoorDash perfect runs, which happen now constantly, is like, oh God, that was supposed to take months for people to find. And that's already done.
That's amazing. What do you think about the hardcore scene overall? Is the studio studying it, trying to figure out how to keep it healthy?
It's tricky. I think we'd never intended Fall Guys to be taken as seriously maybe as some people are taking it, but I appreciate that telling people to not take things seriously is a bad idea, and I don't want to do that. But at the same time, I think we need to be careful that we don't just listen to the very loud, very vocal competitive players who are like, team games are bullshit and I don't want anything to do with them. It's like, we're not going to remove team games from the game tomorrow. Like, we have to be careful, and we have to listen to people who aren't as vocal and aren't as passionate. You know, we got lots of messages from families and stuff who just want to sit down and play Fall Guys for fun because it's not that competitive, and they lose and they win and whatever, and it's all part of the process.
Yeah.
That said, the best version of Fall Guys is a game that has a way to play it for everybody, and we're looking into ways that we can give those more competitive players something to compete over without necessarily, you know, ruining the experience for people who do enjoy team games and stuff like that. I mean, one thing that we were really worried about when we launched the game is not having enough players to fill multiple playlists. You know, we were terrified that if we launched with squads mode and solos and duos and everything,
right,
we'd have 5,000 people playing and it would split the player base and the game would die. And so that's why we've only launched really with one player base, one playlist, is that it was like, well, who knows how well this game is going to go. So let's do one. Let's see how it does. And now we have 400,000 people playing the game pretty much right now. And so we have a bit of flexibility to add some more game modes. I'm laughing because it's just so insane. But I think like now we can start to look at stupid things like it's four ball Sundays and we have a player that's just four ball all the time. Or, you know, the special gauntlet thing that we do for a week and see how it does, things like that. Yeah. And now all kind of possible and we're working on the functionality to let us do that.
Nice. And so you'd even consider having like the casual mode, ranked mode, and maybe ranked wouldn't have team games or something like that?
I'm not sure about ranked yet. Like, I don't think we want to go down the route of like MMR, diamond, plat, gold, because I don't think Fall Guys isn't really designed to be played at the peak of competition.
Yeah.
So I worry about what it looks like when that amount of pressure is on the line. Like, we're not built to be played for money or to be played for things like, we don't really know what that would look like. I wouldn't say never, because who knows? But I think it would be really nice for us to find ways to reward players who are more competitive, or, you know, want their streaks rewarded or their stats rewarded, and they want to know, you know, am I the number one player in the entire season for wins? Stuff like that. I think those are things we can do. But you just have to be careful, because we've all seen the like kill-death ratio anxiety that, you know, old Call of Duty games had, where everyone just obsesses over losing games or getting killed. Like, I don't want that to become what Fall Guys is known for.
Anything else you want to share about the roadmap? Things you definitely do want to do? Things you have seen the community talk about that you're like, we would never do that, or we're steering away from that for now?
Well, I mean, I think a big thing that we're definitely looking into is crossplay, for example. Like, again, Fall Guys is about bringing people together to play wholesome games, and it makes sense that crossplay is part of that. Other than that, I would say like squads mode is something we're looking into like at the moment, which is a way for people to win or lose as teams, basically. It's quite weird, because how do you do a team race? You know, you don't want the loser to be the person who decides, the last person to be the person who decides qualification, because everyone's got that rubbish friend and you don't want them to feel like a detriment.
Yeah.
So we're kind of figuring out what the hell does a team race look like? But I think that stuff will be really fun. And I think it will give people a way to win who maybe just, you know, people who aren't hexagon gods can start to win as a team. Like, obviously things might change and we're looking into it, and it's very early days for this stuff, but that's something we're looking into. And then it's just like, you know, what does season two look like? What's the kind of content that people want now? It's also something we're doing at the moment.
Yeah. Are there games that you're looking to for inspiration for just keeping this thing alive and healthy and making sure it's not a flash in the pan?
Yeah, I think definitely things like Rocket League, that's always been our benchmark when we were working through this, was like, imagine if we could do what Rocket League does. And I love the way they added their like basketball modes and ice hockey modes.
Yeah.
Just playing with things slightly, like stuff like that. I think the way Rocket League has handled that sort of stuff is closer to what we're looking for compared to like PUBG or something like that. But then also like lots of other big mini game things like Mario Party and these amazing Minecraft servers that are full of mini games. We're still monitoring all of that stuff and seeing what we can steal, basically, if I'm quite honest.
Yeah. I mean, are you open to the idea of a Fall Guys 2? Or at this point, is it, we want to keep this like the Rocket League style, just keep supporting this forever?
Yeah, I think the version of Fall Guys that we're really excited about is what we can do with this game as it stands. Fall Guys wants to be, so I want to be still working on Fall Guys in like 3 or 4 years time, just as Rocket League has stood the test of time. And so it's really about setting ourselves up to make that happen right now.
What is that like internally? Does it feel like the studio just, you know, stressed out, but also can breathe a sigh of relief that they don't have to scramble for projects and work for hire for the next several years?
Yeah. I mean, obviously I can't really talk about figures and stuff, but
yeah,
it's fairly obvious right now that the game has made the development budget back. And that was a huge, I didn't really realize quite how much that had been stressing me out until I heard that we were okay and we were safe. And it was just this huge, huge sigh of relief from, at least personally, of just knowing that this has been worth it. Even if it stopped there, you know, it's in a good spot. I think the team are energized by that, definitely, and knowing that we've got a hit. And I think almost what would have been the scariest is if we were right on the precipice of success and we knew that like every second counts and we really have to like cram to get stuff in. I think we have managed to afford ourselves, you know, a couple of days of just trying to enjoy it and trying to embrace it. But, you know, we're working on hotfixes. We got new patch going out tomorrow, and then, you know, the roadmap starts from there, really. So it's a little bit of enjoying it, but very much everyone's eager to capitalize on this and kind of see how far we can take it, really.
Yeah. What do you think it means for employees there? Does it mean everybody gets a new car? Does it mean that you're going to be ballooning up to a studio of 1,000 people, or what does it mean?
I think in the meantime, it means that we have confidence to build a bigger team, hopefully around 4 guys, and double down on the success of it. Outside of that, it's still so early that we don't really know what to do, but it definitely means that, you know, definitely means we can make more content and we can support the game for longer than we maybe initially thought we might be able to. It also means that we have like really exciting opportunities. Like a lot of people are knocking on our door asking for, you know, a piece of the Fall Guys pie. And that is very, very exciting. I mean, you've seen on Twitter, we have like every single fast food chain in the world has now designed their own Fall Guy design and wants to collab with Cyberpunk and all these companies. Like, it's just so ridiculous. Like, I don't know what's going on anymore.
What's the team sentiment? Is it like, game on, yeah, KFC, let's go? Or is everybody like, okay, slow down, this seems like a thing we should probably talk to Devolver about?
Yeah, there are stuff which is like fun to joke about on Twitter, and then there's stuff that's like, actually, no, that would be amazing. And so it's just really about picking what we feel stays true to the brand. We're not just going to chuck everything in the game because, you know, it's in a really exciting position and we don't want to just say yes to everything and then suddenly the game turns into a complete mess. Like, we want to kind of keep the integrity of it there for sure.
Right, right. I remember interviewing Brendan Green, Mr. Player Unknown, right when PUBG was taking off, and asking him about, like, you know, what do you think the future of PUBG looks like? And he's like, oh, we want to keep it pure. It all has to be in-world. It has to make sense. And then leap forward a couple of years and it's like, ah, you're playing as the Joker and he's in an airplane. It's just nonsense.
Yeah.
Do you have thoughts on like where you want Fall Guys to be a couple of years from now? Because it's such a silly game, I guess it doesn't matter as much. But a couple of years from now, do you expect it to be McDonald's versus KFC in there?
Oh, I'd be sad if it does. You can record this now and play it back to me when it happens. But I think it's fun because game shows and stuff are very inspired by lots of different franchises and we can really draw inspiration from stuff. And I like the idea that maybe one day it's like you have themed courses and it all just goes in this mess of stuff. And you don't, you know, 1 minute you're in a snow level, the next minute you're in the future.
Yeah.
I think that all just speaks to like what Fall Guys is trying to be, which is a game show with the biggest budget anybody's ever seen, which was the initial pitch was like, let's build the obstacle courses that no one's ever had the money or the health and safety, you know, track record to actually do. And so
Right. We
can just push that now. Like, we can just build all the things that we've wanted to build and draw inspiration from all the places that were too outlandish. You know, there's a bunch of stuff in the really early trailers or that's on the cutting room floor that we're like, oh, we can't do that. That's too insane. And now it's like, ah, screw it. Let's do it.
What do you internally see as like the secret to the success of Fall Guys? It's a great pitch. It's clicks in people's minds. But have you had an internal meeting about, all right, these are the bullet points that we think are the reason that this happened?
I think part of it is how eminently watchable the game is.
Yeah.
Is a huge, huge factor in that. Like, I play tons of battle royales, I play loads of games, but a lot of the time when I watch them on Twitch, like if you just drop someone in front of a battle royale on Twitch and go, oh, this is what you're watching, it's a battle royale. It's like, what does that even mean? Like, there's this circle, this magic circle, and it's shrinking, and it's like, it's so hard to explain to people, and mm-hmm. I think a lot of people just switch off. Whereas with Fall Guys, like, it's an obstacle course and you have to qualify to go through. And I'm like, oh, I get it, sweet, I'm in. The slime's bad, finish line good, go. And I think that is the real success, is that we had like we had a big rule internally that all our mini games had to be explained in 3 words essentially, and if it wasn't explainable in 3 words, it's too complicated. So it has to be like the doors are fake, or, you know, the slime is rising or whatever, and you just get it and you go. And I think that's a big factor to the success. I think the art team have done a phenomenal job as well about tying the game show stuff together with the world. It just looks unlike any other multiplayer game out there. And when you look closer, you can see that everything's, you know, soft play area and squidgy foam and stuff. And so the game show vibe filters in as soon as you look at it. And I think that is really what stands to the success of it. And then just the fact that losing at the game is fun in a way that I don't think any other multiplayer game has really done, especially not outside of the like couch co-op party game stuff like Mario Party, where it is, the whole thing is funny all the time. Like, that moment of being clobbered and falling into the slime is just funny and enjoyable, and it makes you want to queue again because you're not petrified about losing. Like, I hate spending 30 minutes trying to find a gun on the floor only to die by being shot in the back of the head. Yeah. Sucks. It's boring. And Fall Guys manages to kind of do something different, which I think is really like key to the success of it.
How important do you think the PS Plus thing has been? I mean, it's interesting hearing that, you know, you're inspired by Rocket League, very much trying to follow in those footsteps. That was the discussion internally, is let's do the Rocket League thing.
Yeah. And it was, again, it was like day one. It was like, imagine if we could do a PS Plus. Oh my God, that'd be so insane. And then we talked to Sony and they were like, think about doing a PS Plus with this game. We're like, oh no, this is the start of something really exciting. But it's just, I mean, you can't put a dollar figure on what that means in terms of the success of a game. It's just brings the game to a whole new audience. It lowers that barrier to entry for an IP that nobody has any idea about.
Yeah.
I think it's been like absolutely instrumental, and Sony have been amazing all the way through supporting us, which has been great.
Oh, that's fantastic. I imagine the Sony numbers are off the charts compared to anything else.
Oh yeah. So ridiculous. So insane.
Has there been a biggest surprise for you overall? You've already listed a couple, but a reaction that you didn't expect or anything like that?
I think we've had a lot of people reach out to us and just have reinforced, like, don't rush changing it. Don't make any snap decisions. Just take your time with it. Like, we're enjoying the game because of what it is right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's been nice to hear. It's like, I think a lot of the time with competitive games, you just get bombarded with feedback saying, change this, change that. This is crap. This needs changing. And we've actually had a really surprising amount of people just reach out to us and thank us and for making something new. We had some lovely messages from people who have been really struggling mentally, you know, especially with how insane the world is right now. We've had a lot of people message us just saying, hey, I don't want anything. I don't have problems with the game. Just want to say thanks for bringing joy to my life at a tough time, which has been, I think, like, amazing to see, really. It's been really special. And I think, again, something that I think is maybe quite unique to Fall Guys.
Yeah.
I heard a good quote, which was like, Fall Guys is like the multiplayer Animal Crossing, except the fact that Animal Crossing was multiplayer, but it's that same comfy, reassuring vibe that Animal Crossing kind of brought to people. And I think that's quite, kind of hits the nail on the head, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I hadn't even connected that yet. But when we look back at 2020, we look at two of the biggest games of 2020, it's going to be Animal Crossing and Fall Guys. And it's like, oh, that makes sense with the state of the world.
Yeah.
And then I think, again,
we talked about like, you know, not being able to predict things. And that's, I think, something which we've kind of gotten that has worked for Fall Guys. It's just a breath of fresh air and color and stupidity in a otherwise quite a bleak scenario.
Yeah. So you talked about messages that are coming to you. What messages do you have for other devs out there that are looking up to you all now? Do you have any suggestions or any lessons that you'd like to impart now that you're in this new plateau?
I think a big thing is, the biggest thing about Fall Guys is we spent a lot of time at the beginning of the project to all sit down and make sure the whole team knew exactly what we were making. And we didn't really start until everybody agreed that the pillars were like, the Fall Guy has to be useless and funny and relatable. The levels have to be simple and addictive and replayable. And, you know, the whole thing has to be enjoyable and bring breath of fresh air. And everybody was like, all right, that's what we're making. And basically from that day, everyone has just gotten their heads down, and we haven't changed the direction of the game or anything like that. Like, we just started making the thing that we all believed would be good.
Yeah.
And I think that's been the biggest thing, is that if you don't have your whole team on board on day one, you will run into problems later. So it's worth taking that time to all unify and all make sure you're on the same page, because if you really believe in something and you're really passionate about it, the final result is so much better for it. And you don't have people going, I kind of always said that this wasn't really going to work. And hey, remember that thing I said 6 months ago? I've always kind of figured that this would be better. It's just like, get everyone aligned, everyone laser focused on what you need to make sure they all agree that it would be good, and then just make the damn thing.
That's amazing.
And just hope that people agree. I don't know.
Yeah. And then hope it becomes a Twitch sensation.
Yeah. Because you can't, there's no way of knowing. Like, if you spend too much time looking at like market research and, oh, the numbers say that in a year's time, this genre is going to reach its peak. Mm-hmm. You'll be wrong. You'll be way off base. All of that stuff is, as far as I'm concerned, a bit of a waste of time. Just make something that gets people excited and that feels different. And that isn't trying to capitalize on some flash in the pan. Like, when we started, it's very easy now to be like, oh, Battle Royales are huge. Obviously, Fall Guys was going to be big when they started it. But when we started it, PUBG was kind of big. Fortnite was just about starting to turn from being PvE to PvP. Like, we didn't know if Battle Royale was going to die within the next 2 months or something. And yeah. We didn't know Apex Legends, Warzone, all of these huge things would continue to grow. And I think Fall Guys would be successful even if Battle Royales had not turned into this genre-defining thing. So yeah, don't waste too much time on market research. Just make fun stuff.
That's beautiful. Okay, let's see. Simple questions. It seems like the game was open to a pivot to go free to play. It seems like it could have swapped. Was that something in the cards? And do you think it's in the cards at this point as well?
It's definitely not in the cards at the moment. Like, with the success of the game, I think we've made the right decision.
Oh yeah.
It's also allowed us to be much more transparent with the monetization in the game. Like, the battle pass is free for everyone. All the stuff on there you get for playing. The shop doesn't have any gacha mechanics in. We don't have to maximize the amount of revenue that we're making from the game. It's allowed us to focus on just making the most fun, wholesome package that we could possibly do. There were conversations about it early on, but we felt like the game is so unique and so exciting and so standalone that we had confidence. And also, to be frank, like, the PS Plus thing was a huge part of that because it allowed us to get in front of people early on. But yeah, no plans to go free to play anytime soon.
Okay, nice. Twitch integration.
We're talking to Twitch about stuff at the moment, definitely. We have loads of ideas about cool things to do on Twitch. We haven't started working on anything yet, but I love the idea of Twitch-controlled water cannons or, you know, things like that. It'd just be so funny.
Oh my God, that'd be
amazing.
Like,
just championing a Fall Guy that you're watching on Twitch. If you could encourage someone in a stream just with a little emoji or something, I think would be really, really great. Kind of like, because Fall Guys isn't that far away from marbles, like Twitch marbles on Twitch. Like, they share a lot of the same DNA about these stupid physics-based things rolling down a course. Like,
yeah,
it's basically the same, and I'd love a version of that that was Fall Guys.
That'd be fantastic. Since you look up to Psyonix so much in Rocket League, has Epic reached out to buy you guys yet?
Everyone's reached out to buy us at this point.
Is that true?
We did get some tweets from Tim Sweeney, like, just being like, this game looks great, congratulations, which was really, really nice, but... No, I haven't had the check, the, you know, giant check come through my door just yet, but I'm waiting.
Have there genuinely been offers to buy you guys?
I mean, it's something we've always had as a studio. Any big independent studio with a pedigree for making great games always has people knocking, but Fall Guys has changed a lot, but I don't think that's changed really.
Yeah. Do you think the studio is open to it? Is this going to be a Microsoft property within 3 months?
Oh, God, I hope not. I don't think so. No. I think we're very happy where we are.
Okay, fantastic. Well, hey, Joe, congratulations on the success. It is just, it's one of the biggest success stories of the year so far. And you're right. In these times, we could use a nice, happy success. So hats off to the team for years of hard work.
Well, thanks very much. Yeah, I mean, it's all still sinking in, but it truly is so nice to be able to bring a lot of joy to people. And stupid physics jelly bean fun is, turns out that's what people needed right now, which is lovely to be a part of.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of jelly bean, before we wrap up, is there any lore? What's going on here? Do you have a doc somewhere that is tracking what this world is like?
Yeah, I mean, it's not something we thought too hard on, but we basically kind of said Fall Guys like exist in this world to compete, and they're full of enthusiasm and quests for glory, but they pop into the existence, they compete, and then they go forever. And we didn't really give any more thought to it than that because it seemed a little pretentious to start making lore. And now suddenly all these questions are starting, and who knows?
So do you think
there's more to it.
Do you think it's our world and the Fall Guys are popping into that? Or is this an alternate universe?
This is an alternate universe. I think it's a giant planet. I think you can see the curvature of the Earth if you look out into the horizon. So I'm pretty sure it's a planet full of competition. In my head, all of the mini games exist in different spots all over this giant globe that's popped into existence just for competition. And somehow that's being streamed. Because you can see cameras and stuff in the level too. Like, we wanted it to feel like a game show, and I think we could push that further, but I think maybe that's something we could push even further now and see where we can take it.
Yeah, it's surprising that there isn't an announcer. Is that something you considered or you'd want to have in the future?
Yeah, we talked about it. I think budget-wise, trying to get voice acting into the game is always hard, and then I think the thing with commentary systems is there, everybody ignores them until they go wrong.
Yep.
And then that's the thing that people notice, is that moment in FIFA where you pass the ball and the commentator screams like you've scored a goal. And it basically felt like one of those systems that we just don't have the budget to do properly or the experience to do properly. But we also like the idea that people can commentate themselves. You know, anyone can log on to Twitch. You know, we've seen people doing this kind of classic duo MXC style commentary over the top of Fall Guys. And I think we felt like it'd be better to leave it open and let people do it themselves.
Yeah, of course. That makes so much more sense. Well, hey, again, Joe, thank you for your time. Congratulations to the team.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me. It's
absolutely
been fun.
And thanks so much for watching and listening to this interview with MinMax. We're a Patreon about games, friends, and getting better. If you want to unlock the podcast version again of future interviews, you can support us at the link below. Bye, everybody!